This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I think I'm wonderful.
Well, excellent. It's a long holiday, Labor Day weekend, the unofficial ending of summer. Of course, it's really not the ending. It really doesn't change because it's still going to be hot for a while. So it's just basically a reason to take a three-day weekend.
Yes, and the other thing is everybody better get their white shoes and put them up.
Oh.
Got to get them back in the closet.
I forgot. No white shoes after Labor Day.
That's right. Come Tuesday, you better not be wearing white shoes. It's just not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You save them for
good
the spring.
Manners. That's right. You got to put them up for spring.
Yeah.
And you just got to start wearing fall clothes. It's pretty soon.
Mm.
You've only got a few more days.
Yeah, well,
fall hits, you know.
Yeah, I know it's been really hot, but I think sometime next week it may get down into the 80s. I saw mid-80s one day. Yeah, that may change, but still, it's nice to start seeing a little bit of cooler temperatures because, you know, within, what, 8 weeks, we'll all be saying, my goodness, it's so cold. What happened?
I'm going to believe that now when I see it because it's been so warm.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to say it if I can just get the opportunity to see something that is in the 80s. I will believe it when I see it.
Well, here's a dose of reality. Halloween is it's less than 8 weeks away.
That's why all the stores like Ivy Cottage, you've got all the Halloween things. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you something beautiful that they have that all the women need to run over there and buy for gifts or for their bathrooms. I was over there the other day, and they have these soap dispensers that have a cross on the front and jewels.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, they're beautiful. Oh, everybody should have those in their bathrooms. Oh, man, they are beautiful. And if you've already got something really fancy in your bathroom for soap, give it for Christmas to someone. It would make wonderful Christmas gifts.
Are you hinting?
I fell in love with them.
You want a little fancy soap dispenser, don't you?
Yes, I love fancy things, and they've got them, and I had to have them.
So now we know what to put on the list for Faye this year.
That's right. Always a fancy little deal for the bathroom.
Nice.
I'm crazy about things like that.
Is Christmas up yet?
Oh, no, not quite. But I would be glad to rush it. If it's necessary, I will rush it.
Well, you know, within the next couple of weeks, we're going to start seeing the Christmas go up. And as soon as Halloween hits, because, you know, lately, you know, it's almost like they have the Christmas out before Halloween even gets here. And then the rush is on.
That's exactly right. And everything, the economy is so good, people are going to be spending a lot this year. And they're going to do it early, man. Your wives will be charged on that credit card.
Yeah.
It's going to go fast.
Setting that plastic on fire.
Oh, they're going to set it on fire. And there'll be beautiful, beautiful things because now, like Ivy Cottage, they've already brought in all these beautiful things for you to buy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my.
Oh,
yeah, they were showing me all kinds of things.
I bet they were.
Oh, yeah, they were saying, now, Faye, how about this? How about that? And I'm going, oh, my gosh, you know. And so then I leave, and I call back, and I say, yes, those soap dispensers are gorgeous. I need some. So I bought two of them.
Wow.
And now I'm thinking, why didn't I get more for Christmas gifts? Because they're so gorgeous.
Well, see, now you have a reason to go back.
That's all I need. It's a reason.
Like you didn't have one before. Now you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I would have never thought if you hadn't said that. Oh, yeah. I'd just be over there working, you know. Oh, my gosh.
Once we get to the holidays, you're not going to get any work done because you're going to be over there 8 hours a day every day.
I am. I'm going to be over there saying, oh, I hadn't seen that before. I need that. I hadn't seen that before. I need that. Oh, my gosh. They've got the prettiest things on earth. There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah. You can go to
some of these other stores, like the big box stores. They don't have things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just have the old tried and true.
Yeah.
And I don't want the old tried and true.
No, that's
kind of like we used to all shop at Sears.
Oh, yeah.
Sears, my favorite store. Now, 64 stores are going out, and they're going to put everything rock bottom, you know, and try to clear all that out.
Really? They're closing 64 stores?
64.
Wow.
So there'll be 64 stores that are just going to mark it all down just to move it out.
Wow. That's a shame.
It's such a shame. They used to have the best items, you know, and everything they had was sturdy. Do you realize that?
Oh, yeah, very
well
made.
Nothing would break, tear up. They guaranteed it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they had those tools, those famous tool line there.
Yeah.
And, man, everybody went there, the men did, to buy their tools because they were guaranteed past eternity. I mean, forever.
Yeah.
And you knew that you had a good tool when you bought it at Sears.
Yeah, you never had to return it or replace it or anything.
No.
Unless you wanted to, but...
Yeah, never. I've never had anybody that I know of returned a tool set from Sears. They were so great.
Yeah. Well, that's
a
shame.
Times are changing. Everything's going to cheap and quick. You've heard that, haven't you? Cheap and quick.
Yeah, but we live in a disposable type of world right now, so if something breaks, remember when you used to fix the TV? Now you just throw it out and buy a new one.
Oh, yeah. Several years ago, I was going to have a television repaired. And, you know, they laughed at me.
I'm sure.
They go, no, you're not going to have it repaired. You're going to buy a new one, lady.
Yeah.
We don't repair them.
No.
It costs too much to repair.
Yeah.
They said, you can buy a new one from us for what it would cost to repair the old one.
Yeah, same thing
and
with
that's
appliances.
How I learned about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, we'll take the old set off your hands.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Then they'll scrap them all for parts and...
Yep, that's all
they
do.
Sell them off and make money off of them.
Yeah, it's a new generation. It's a new world.
It really
and
is.
Like you said,
you can hook your appliances up to your phone, so you can see what's in the refrigerator while you're like at work on your some app on your phone. Oh, times are totally different than they were. Yeah, have you seen one of those? You need to get one.
No. Oh yeah, you know I do. Well, and yesterday I wanted floodlights. I said, you know, when you come in my gate, we had a light there. It didn't work half the time. I said, electrician, come out here and put floodlights because there is a drop-off on either side. If you miss the dadgum thing, you're going to be in the ditch. So they came out, and I said, well, what happened to that little light? Well, the fire ants got in there and ate everything up.
Really?
I didn't know they'd do that, but they ate everything up. He starts to take it off the post, and it caught on fire.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Quite a deal. And so then I wanted one on the garage. And they put it up, and they said, now, you'll have to have an app for this for your phone. I go, what? you got to have an app on the phone to turn it on and off. You can't just walk over there to the wall and turn it on and off. You got to have an app, lady.
So there's no more light switches. It's all on your phone.
It's all on your phone, folks. If you can't work this app, you're in deep trouble.
Oh, boy. Wow, times have changed.
Life is passing us by. It's going so fast. Who would have thought you had to have an app?
Yeah, it's pretty neat and kind of scary at the same time.
It is, because now if you want to turn that thing on and off or make an adjustment, you've got to have that phone with you at all times.
Well, yeah, if you don't have your phone with you, you can't really do anything. You can't turn the lights on or off. You can't do anything.
That's right. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it's neat. All right, let's give out that phone number and start planning for retirement.
Let's do that. I bet I can do it in one day. What do you think?
I bet you could.
Okay, the phone number is 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. So now, anybody that's going to retire this year, They better get over there quick if they're coming to see us. Because let's say you're going to retire in 2 months and you haven't done a thing. Well, you've got to be prepared because they're going to roll out all that paperwork. It takes 60 to 90 days to get all your paperwork when you're retiring. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, and then they say you've got to have all this filled out and ready for the day of retirement. I've done this so many times with people, and they'd send all the papers out, I don't even know, 15 pages, maybe 20, and we'd sit down, we'd get all filled out, and they said, now, the day of your retirement, we will act on your papers that day, but they have to have it before you retire, and then the day you retire, they're ready to go. They'll get everything, they'll add up what your stocks are worth, what your mutual funds are worth. If you have an account that all the taxes are already paid, they'll add that account up. There'll be separate accounts. They do all this, and then you get a check in about 30 days.
Okay.
It takes about 30. So then you have to have all this done, or they're not even going to start on it.
All right, so September 1st, you said it takes up to 90 days, right, to do the paperwork?
Before you are going to get your money, they want you to start early, okay?
All right, so September 1st, October, November, December. So this would take you to, if somebody was to do it today, which I know is not realistic, but just say, that would take you to December 1st, and then we're, you know, once we get into the middle of December, things pretty much shut down as far as getting anything productive done for about a month. So you're looking at mid-January by the time things fire back up again. So we're really getting down to, you know, if people want to make a change before the end of the year, they need to really start go ahead and you know, making plans and getting things done now.
Yeah, because if you're retiring, it's real important. If you've got a 401k, it's going to be real important. Now, if you've got an IRA, we can do it in 30 days. But a 401k takes a lot of thought. You have to figure out, you know, what you want to tell them on your papers, how you want it done. And most of the time, a lot of these huge companies will send a check. They won't even, when they do the rollover, they're not going to wire it to us. So you're not going to have access to the money as fast as you thought. They'll send it by Pony Express.
Really?
It takes 12 days sometimes after you retire before we get that check.
Wow, I thought it all was just electronic and boom, boom, it's done.
Oh, no. A lot of them will not do that. They don't want the money leaving that fast. So what they'll do, they get everything ready after you've already left, and then they just mail the check, standard mail.
Wow.
They won't even FedEx it. Now, and lots of times, instead of sending it to the company, even though we've requested that on the forms, sometimes they'll send it to you, and you can't cash it. Remember, if you cash it, you've got to pay the tax. So it's made out to us, right? So even if it has joint names, you never sign it. You just bring it to us, and we send it on to Nevada Trust for you, to your new IRA account.
Unsigned.
There's all kinds of things that have to happen if you're fixing to retire by December 1st.
But do not.
Come to business now and get it started.
Do not endorse the check.
No. You bring it to us, and we're going to send it on. Okay?
So
because if you put that in your bank account, you owe the tax.
Yeah.
So never deposit it. Never.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you have to bring it to us, and we send it on, and we put deposit only, and it'll go to Nevada Trust. They'll open the account for you. In fact, we may already have the account open. We can open the account early, so they know about when it's coming. We call them and say the check's on the way, and then they deposit it, and you can look at it, and you know it's there.
So it would help expedite things a little bit to have the account already open.
Yes. Lots of times we'll do it 60 days before they retire.
So how long on average, and I'm not talking about the, you know, starting to save and building wealth phase. I'm talking about like when people decide, the day they decide, okay, I'm going to retire in, how often do people usually decide? Do they decide a few months or do they decide, hey, I'm going to retire in 3 years?
Usually before, at least 2 years out, they'll call me and say, you know, I'm going to retire in 2 years. I need to come see you.
Okay.
Now, I had people come the other day, and they can't make up their mind how they want to do it, and their employer is fixing to give them all their money, okay? They're not going to keep it. I think they're selling, because usually if an employer is selling, They make you take your 401s, okay? They won't go ahead and handle the 401s because they don't want any part of that after they sell the company. So they'll come and talk to me beforehand and say, okay, how can we do this? And I tell them how we do a rollover, how it works, and it's going to be faster if it's a company that's selling because they're going to want to get this money out of their retirement plan. So then they decide they may have $1 million in retirement. They may have 500. So then they're going to decide how much they're going to roll right now and how much they'll roll over when they tell them today's the day you got to move the money, okay? So there's two or three scenarios on that when a company is selling out and they do not want your 401k any longer. So we have to work on that. And then they may say, I want to do that, and then I've got personal funds, like, you know, in my regular checking account that we'd like to move over. So we may be doing two or three different kinds of accounts. And the other day, some people brought me three kinds. They had annuities, which is completely separate. They had the stock account, then they had the bank account.
This is the same person you're talking about?
Yeah, the same person. So they're going to have to make up their mind how they're going to do this. Now, this particular man is going to retire in 3 years, no doubt about it. And he said then he may go to work for somebody he really likes. In other words, a lot of these people have worked 30 years. They're unhappy. They're tired. They don't want to work for that company anymore. But they're too young to retire, so they're going to take 30 days off or 60, then go to work for another company. It's somebody they like, something that's fun. And that's what everybody should do. Retire from a company you don't like. Go to work for somebody. I don't care if it's demonstrating fishing poles. Yeah, something that you would really like.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that'd be my thing. I'd be demonstrating something I really like and laughing, you know, sitting down laughing. Be like Burr Rabbit and Burr Fox. That's me.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah.
Or a pizza taste tester.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one. Man, we're coming up with some good ones, you know? But a lot of people, as I said, they've worked for the same company. And it's not fun. They're doing the same thing day after day.
So when you're talking about these people that take like a month off and then go work for somebody that they like, you're not talking about they're actually retiring, right? I mean, they're still like in the workforce. They're not retiring and then just like working for fun. They're actually...
Well, almost, because what they're going to do, they're going to roll over to us. We've got all their retirement. They're starting a new 401k at the new company. But they just want to work about three more years, and then they really are going to retire. But they don't want to retire quite this early. Their wife does not want them under feet quite yet. You know, I mean, 60 and 59 is awful young to be under your wife's foot, you know? And they don't really like that.
Is there an age that you would recommend people not retire younger than?
55. If you retire before 55, it's going to be a boring life.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only have so much fun. Then it gets just boring as heck. And I do not recommend 55. I would never do that. We have a client that retired back when he was 55. He could afford it. And all these years, he just kind of slouched around town and got in his wife's way, went to the VFW, all this, and he finally got Alzheimer's and dementia. And I swear, it's from not doing anything, not keeping active, not keeping his brain active.
Yeah. You have to keep your brain active, but also there's the other thing that I hear about all the time is that when you do retire and you no longer have a place to be and nobody's counting on you to you know, do a job or get something done, and when people lose that, they lose that sense of, I guess, like worth or value because nobody's counting on them for anything. And so
nobody's asking me questions every day. There's not someone saying, can you help me with this? Can you tell me about this, you know? And I think it's just crazy. I've only had a couple of people that did, and I haven't seen one of them turn out good. Now, you retire at 59, well, heck, you're going to be doing other things. You're not going to just sit on your butt. But a guy at 55, he thinks, oh, I can just sit around and go to the VFW and play cards and do all that. That's not right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a wasted life.
Yeah.
Let's make our lives count. Be healthy, be productive, and retire at a regular age, and you won't ever regret that, I can tell you.
I know, you know, on the outside, it always looks like, oh, man, that'll be great. You know, I don't have to get up early. I don't have, you know, boss man yelling at me, or I don't have, you know, this responsibility. I can just kind of, like, hang out and oh, it'll be great, and I'll just coast through the rest of life. But it actually can be quite detrimental for your health. So, and then you don't want to retire too late, because there are, what do you say, most people should plan for 25 years after?
Yes, I would plan for 25. If you live a good life, take care of yourself, you ought to make it 25. Now, there's going to be a percentage that will get sick. They may recover. We may have a percentage that are not going to recover. But my gosh, let's shake it out, get there, and enjoy it as long as we possibly can. And don't sit down. Sitting down is the worst thing in life.
So we're talking about, you know, people that would normal on a normal scale, people would go to work for 30 or maybe 40 years, and then plan to retire for over half of that in retirement. So you're talking about a lot of money, you know. And I know a lot of people when they start thinking about retirement, it's usually not when they're in their 20s, probably not when they're in their 30s. It may start to cross their mind when they're in their 40s, and then by that time it starts to think, oh my goodness, you know, I've waited so long, I've got to save 25 years worth of money, and here I only have maybe 10 years left. It's impossible. What do you tell the person that's staring at the bottom of Mount Everest and looking up thinking, my goodness, I can't do this? What do you tell that person?
Well, you can. You just have to put your mind and your head to it and say, you know, I've got this to do. We've been squandering our money, our time, and we have to get busy, because at our age, we're going to need every dime of it. So, you know, you have to make up your mind. We're going to do this. We're going to set our goals right now. If you don't have any goals, what are you doing? You're just wasting time. Everybody has to have goals. I have a goal every day and every week of my life.
Do you really?
Yes. And everybody says, you know, what are you thinking about? I'm thinking about all the things I want to do, I could do, and that I need to get done. After all, how do you think I've stayed so young?
I say that almost every day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know. Oh, man.
Oh, that's great.
And, yeah.
So for the person who's waited till they're in their 40s, is it too late to start building your wealth to retire?
No. I mean, they've got plenty of time. They just need to get with it and quit blowing the money and on strange things, you know. I know people that just waste money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? On strange things.
yes, and they're buying things they don't need.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying, make it count. Make the money count. Make your retirement, as it looms towards you every year, get ready for it. And if you're not putting money back, if you don't have $150,000, $200,000 at 44, you know, you're going to have to really work hard to get up to the $500,000 or $1 million by the time you retire.
And, but it is doable, though.
It is absolutely doable. And I need, as I said, just get with it.
Is there a point, then, on the other hand, where it's too late to start?
At 80, it's darn sure too late.
At 80.
I mean, whatever you got, honey, that's all you're going to get. Oh, man.
Wow.
It's going to work.
If you're 80, wow, that's amazing. All right, so yeah. So pretty much any age, it's okay to get started. But you have to get started. And I know that people, you know, they see this and they're like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm looking at all this money I've got to all of a sudden put aside. I'm going to have to start eating, instead of eating steak for dinner, I've got to start eating ramen noodles every day, and I can't go anywhere, and I'm just going to, like, sit here. I'm not going to waste any money. I'm not going to get any extra groceries. I'm going to cancel all my vacations. You don't have to do that, but you do have to start the planning process, and we do this by various types of investments. And I know that people see Wall Street, and I see the stock market, and they say, wow, gosh, the economy is going great. You know, everybody's making all this money. We all know that things can happen. So, yes, people can make money, and they have for years on Wall Street. We also saw what happened in 2008, where people lost on Wall Street. So the point is, as you get closer to retirement, I think a lot of people have that place where, gosh, I'm kind of afraid to either get involved in like a Wall Street type of situation, or they're already in it and they're thinking, ooh, I'm getting a little bit gun shy because the closer I get to retirement, I literally could lose everything.
Well, this is true. And I had people call me this week and they said, we've been taking our money out of the stock market a little at a time. And they said they wanted to, they're self-employed. They want to put some money with me. And I told them, you know, here's the way it's going to work. You know, the minimum is 100. He said, I've got more than 100. He said he qualifies on the $200,000 a year that he's making. And he's got a SEP account and a regular account. So he's got two IRAs going. So the man can afford to get started right now. Now then, he also told me which one of my clients recommended us. And he said, now, you know how I talk about men procrastinate? He talked to our client 9 months ago.
9 months ago.
9 months ago.
And he's just
he
now doing
this
it.
Week. Yeah, and he says, I need to make an appointment. And I'm going, golly, 9 months? We better get his IRAs moved and get them working because it might take this guy another year, you know?
So while he's been waiting, or as you say, procrastinating for 9 months, that's 9 months that he could have been making more money but just didn't.
That's exactly right. But this time he'd probably had at least one policy come due because, you know, we've had two in the last 60 days that came due real early. Mm-hmm. And you remember the other day when I told you about that one that we did in April?
Yeah.
Or May. Was it May?
Uh-huh.
And they died just right after we did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could not pay our people back. So we're going to get the money out of that.
Really?
Our attorney has just told us, yes. He said there's some rules about that. They had to have us paid back within a certain length of time.
Really?
And they couldn't pay it. See, I said to start with, when Kimberly mentioned this to me, you know, she said, you know, we never have gotten the checks. And I said, you know, I think they have violated all the rules because I said there is a limit on how long they can go. And I didn't know if it's 15, 25 days. I didn't know. So we contacted Jim Orr, our attorney. Jim said, they have done a no-no. He said, they have to pay, have you paid long before now? So he's going to them and tell them, you know, we're filing the claim, you're not going to get anything. And they had the opportunity, they just didn't do it right.
So they were in violation.
Our clients will get, yeah, they violated the law. And so now our clients will get the money out of that short-term policy.
Okay, good.
Shortest term we've ever had.
Well, yeah, wasn't it like a couple of weeks? Is this the right one I'm thinking about? It was like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was right after we got all the papers signed.
Yeah.
And the person died right then.
Wow.
And we knew what the rules were. You know, usually it's 15 days, and that's the rule we went under. And then they were going to take the money, but they didn't even have any money.
Mm-mm.
So,
well, good. I'm glad you got that straightened out, and everybody's going to get everything that they you know, were counting
yeah,
on.
Yeah, because we figured we were just having to take the money back and start over.
Yeah.
But it looks like that won't be the case. We're going to get paid the whole sum, and
good
that's
deal.
Pretty good.
And it's nice to know that there are some regulations here, so it's not like people will go, you know, indefinitely. You know, say a policy matures and people are waiting for their money, and it's not like somebody's going to sit around for, you know, a year or two or kind of wonder and hope, maybe I'll get a check today or maybe it won't. I mean, people
oh,
know.
Oh, no, we don't. You know, we have a lawyer on tap at all times.
Yeah.
Minute by minute. If anything goes wrong, you know what we do. We get on it immediately. We have to protect the client. Mm-hmm. That's what we're getting paid for, is to protect our clients.
And there's a timeline.
Make sure they always get paid.
Yeah, there's a whole process, and it's a very well mapped out timeline for when a policy matures. You say people usually get paid in most cases within a few weeks, right?
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks. You know, we get the checks in. We get a call from the bank, and then we tell everybody, you know, your money's in, and it'll be deposited to your account. Like, sometimes it's the next day. So, but it works very quickly once the check has been issued. These life insurance companies are good. They're honest, and they get that money to us right away.
Good. All right. So, and I know we're going to get into some of the risks. We're going to get into some of how the process works, you know, because we're talking about investing in life insurance policies, and it's a thing that happens over several years. It's a plan. It's a strategy. You get on this trajectory, and within a few years, you can grow your wealth and then retire. And so you take the profits from one, put it into another. We'll get into exactly how that works and why this is such a great great investment opportunity for people who want to go ahead and build their wealth and save for retirement and do it in kind of a safe way. We'll get into all that here in just a little bit. But every Saturday morning around this time, we always get into trivia, and you bring in some neat things, whether it's a place to go, some place to visit, something to put on our bucket list, some trivia about Texas, whatever the case may be. It's always interesting and fun. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we're just going to talk about Labor Day. It was a big deal before it happened. It was a big deal when it did happen. And it's changed a lot over the years. As you know, it's the first Monday in September.
Mm-hmm.
It was created by the labor movement in the United States. And it was dedicated, of course, to all these American workers. And it's a yearly national tribute to their contributions. Well, Labor Day legislation, the first government recognition came in 1885 and 1886.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine? It was a movement. It was developed to secure state legislation. Well, the first state was in New York. But the first to become law was passed by Oregon. Oregon passed the law on February 21st, and it was back in 1887. And then four more states. The next one was Colorado, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York. And they created it by legislative enactment. And then by the end of the decade, here came Connecticut, Nebraska, Pennsylvania. Then in 1894, 23 states adopted the holiday. Then finally, in 1884, Congress said, we'll pass an act making it original, the first Monday in September. It'll be a legal holiday in the District of Columbia and the territories. Now, this is the territories. You know how far back that was?
Yeah.
When it wasn't a state, but it was territories.
Yeah.
And then it was a century after the first Labor Day observation, and then there's always been doubt as to who proposed it. And records show this guy, Philip McGuire, he was the General Secretary of the Brotherhood of Carpenters, and he was co-founder of the American Federation of Labor. So he told everybody he thought it up. He established Labor Day. Well, some other guys come along. They said, you didn't either. You know, it's not gone unchallenged, let me tell you. So then a lot of believe that Matthew McGuire, he was a machinist, that he founded the holiday. And so then there's been a lot of research, and they think that this Matthew McGuire, the secretary of the local, International Association of Machinists, he proposed it. So in 1882, he was serving as Secretary of Central Labor in New York. So they think it was, you know, really his idea. And so then, in 1882 in New York, with the plans of the Central Labor Union, they held it's going to be the second Labor Day holiday. Second Labor Day.
So there were two?
Yeah, and so they couldn't agree. So he wanted to do it on September 5th. This is 1883. And so then everybody said, no, the original proposal, first Monday in September. So then everybody had to go through that. Then they followed the example of New York and said it's going to be called a workman's holiday. Well, you know how people are. This is really proposed for all the people that work for the government, if you want to know. It was a holiday for workers and laborers, and most of them back then did work for the government. And all the unions, you know, wanted to do this to give everybody that four-day weekend and to show them how much they appreciate them. That's what it was all about. And so they outlined it in the first proposal. They said, well, we're going to have street parades and exhibit to the public, and the strength and spirit of labor. Well, this became a pattern for Labor Day. They had speeches, as you know, by all the politicians start giving speeches. So they loved the holiday, you know. And so then they were putting emphasis upon the economic and civic significance of the holiday. So then in 1909, this is the Sunday preceding Labor Day. That was adopted as Labor Sunday. So all these people were trying to get in on the act and get something out of it, you know. Everybody said, there's got to be something we can get out of this. That's usually the way that works. So then they said, well, we've got to show the highest standards of living and the greatest production the world's ever known, that that's what we're doing. So then finally Congress said, okay, it's going to be the first Monday in September. And they finally left it alone, let the second Monday go, and finally made it a federal holiday, you know, for the first Monday. But it was always really more for federal workers than it was just for the ordinary person. Then when everybody got involved in all the states, they started having parades, into summer holidays, really what it turned out. And every state does it. Now there's parades and picnics and, you know, all the kinds of things just for the end of summer. So that's what Labor Day really started out to be.
It sounds like it was a kind of a mess to try and determine when it was going to be and all that.
It really was, because everybody had a different time that they wanted to do it. And then you had these politicians, and that's really what they were. You know, they were head of these different labor unions, and they wanted to be the big shot and call the date. And it's what it was going to be, you know. And now you don't hear about the big unions. You don't hear about big labor being involved in this. It's more than just an ordinary working man's Labor Day now. I never hear about the unions and all that stuff anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
So now it's a lot more fun. Now it's, we all get off work. We get to go to the lake. We get to go play golf. We get to have a picnic. We have our grandkids. I mean, you know, fun things.
I think we should propose, just to muddy the waters a little bit more, I think we should propose to have the first Monday of every month be Labor Day.
I love that. I'm sure all the companies would really appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You will have letters that you never had before.
Oh.
Saying, I need my workers at work, you nut.
I would hear words that I'm sure don't even exist right now.
That's right. They'll make up new words. And they might tar and feather you and run you out of Texas, too. I'm not sure they'd love you anymore. But you know what my 5-year-old grandson said this morning?
What?
He was fixing to go to school, and, you know, he goes all the way into Dallas, and he was talking to the nanny. And she said, come here and let me give you a hug. And she says, I love you. He says, everybody loves me. Now that's confidence. That is confidence.
Yeah, well.
I mean, everybody loves me. Oh, my gosh. That was pretty neat.
If we could all stay five.
If we could all stay five, what a wonderful world it'd be. You know, we would have popsicles every day and hot dogs.
Oh, wow.
And we'd play, and we'd go to the park every day. Boy.
Wow, popsicles and hot dogs. I could get into that.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
My goodness.
And and the other one, I hate to always be talking about my grandchildren, but they're worth talking about.
Sure.
The little girl who is six, they had her do all these drawings and say what she would like to see happen in the world. And she wrote on her little essay, I think we should make a law that you get to snuggle every day with a kitty or a puppy.
Oh, that's a great law.
Isn't that the greatest law you ever heard of? You should be able to snuggle with a puppy or a kitty every day. Man, yeah, it's amazing what my grandchildren talk about and think about. And we don't know all these things.
I know.
And I love it. Puppies and kitties every day.
Puppies and kitties and popsicles and hot dogs.
That's right. That's their world right there.
Oh, it sounds brilliant.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
It is pretty brilliant.
Happy Labor Day weekend then to you.
Thank you. And I think it's going to be a joyous Labor Day.
It is.
We need to do lots and lots of things.
We do. Relax, enjoy it, and get ready for the holidays.
That's right. And, you know, talk to a llama. You should always talk to a llama.
Llamas are very docile creatures. They're very calming.
That's right. They are calming, and they love everybody. That's a good thing.
And they're good listeners.
They are very good listeners. They just put their ears straight up and listen to you straight on.
This is Your Money with Faye Dagby. The number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And something I was going to remind you, I've been trying to remind you for some time, and I forgot.
Uh-huh.
You remember when we did the story on Shiner Bock Beer?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, down there, the little German community. Did you know that they are now in 48 states, that little brewery is, and they went to the Olympics with Shiner Bock Beer?
Really? They went to the Olympics?
They were invited to the Olympics to sell beer.
Wow.
I was
cool.
In shock. I mean, this started out, it's just, you know, down there in the hill country, it's a little bitty family, a little family deal. And, you know, we know they've owned it. What was it? Was it 100 years or less?
Yeah, it was right around 100.
One family has owned that little brewery.
Wow.
And, my gosh, they've expanded. They now are in 48 states.
Wow. And the Olympics.
It shows what you can do.
That is pretty great. That is really cool when you can see a local family-owned business expand to that level.
That's right, and I would have never dreamed it because when I did the story on them, I didn't get the feeling, and they never told what they make, you know. And I didn't get the story that it had amassed into a huge conglomerate. You know, there was a huge company now.
Yeah.
I still thought it was just a little small deal there, and it's not.
Oh, no, they're a major competitor now, it sounds like. That's amazing.
I thought it was really an amazing story, and I want everybody to know they even went to the Olympics with their beer. It was that. It's that popular, I guess.
It's very inspiring.
And I don't drink, so I don't know how good it tastes, but it must be pretty good.
It must be to be in that many states and really have an international platform now. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's an international company. So. And that's a good old Texas company there.
Yeah, there you go. Another
home
run. We
love to see Texans do good.
Absolutely. So we're talking about the saving for retirement. We're talking about the process of how this works. And we're talking about the, and I hate to use words like the safeness of investing in a life settlement. It's all relative. I mean, there's obviously some risks involved. But as people get closer to retirement, they get a little bit skittish. They get a little bit gun-shy because we all remember 2008 and what happened and how fast people lost life's worth of savings, a lifetime of savings overnight, and how they had to start over and how many years it took to rebuild that. Some people haven't still fully recovered. Many people have, but that entire time that you're trying to recover is time that you weren't making more. So we spent a lot of time, we treaded a lot of water just to get back to where we were. So people, I would imagine, as they get closer to retirement, they don't want that to happen again, because if you were to lose everything a year before retirement, what do? You start over, you don't retire. So people are looking for a safer type of investment, and that's what this type of like a life settlement is. Except this is a building process. So these are all life insurance policies that you go out and bid on, and people can in turn invest in these policies.
That's exactly right, and you have to think about what they're making. And I don't know if we give enough emphasis on people going to the website and looking at the profit. You know, they can scroll down there, hit the button, go to what the people have made. I told some people to do that yesterday, and they go, my gosh, I didn't realize people were making this much money.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. And you can go down there and you can see what they've made the last 2 years. It has their initials by it. There's not anything funky about it. It's the real deal. And people have made 22, 24. There's some have made over 30%. And you're not going to have that happen on every policy, but we're just showing you what they actually made. You can go through the initials and look what those people have made, and they have done very, very well. There's not anybody that's made 2% or 3% or 5%. They've made 22, 9%, 32, 38. We've just had some wonderful policies mature. That's all there is to it. And most of them, of the ones that came due, were early. As you know, we've had a lot of early policies in the last 2 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems like 2017 was a record-breaking year. It seems like most of what we've seen so far in 2018 has been spectacular. Do you think the same trend is going to continue into 2019?
I don't know. We've had a terrible time getting policies this summer, as you know. Our only big competition has outbid us on a lot of policies. Then everybody I've talked to said we just didn't get as many policies from policyholders this summer. But it's just now starting to free up again, looks like.
Okay, so things are shaking loose.
Yeah, we've bid about six policies this week. And we got another policy this week, $1 million one. And we'll start filling it. But I don't know how next year will be. I really don't. I can't read the tea leaves this, you know, far out.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that you get your share of money, and that's what I love about the program. You know, it's a life insurance policy. You're going to get the face amount. The life insurance company is not going to come back and say, oh, we decided to give you less. They never do that. When they write a contract, they honor it. They will pay the face amount to you and everybody that's in that policy. That's what they do. And it takes 6 to 8 weeks. There is a risk because it might go over, but most of the premiums are very reasonable. Just those older ones is the only ones that are not reasonable. And we hope they all, you know, pay out real fast. We've been waiting and waiting. I think we're getting closer on that. And then the second risk is if you don't have the assets, you know, like for an emergency, you should not do this. You have to have emergency money. We're not going to do it with anybody that doesn't have emergency money and other assets. So if you have the right assets, you're not going to worry about it. About your money being tied up for a year or 2 years, especially if it's an IRA. If you're an IRA, you can't take the money out anyway unless you're 59 and a half because there's a huge penalty. And then you have to pay taxes on top of the penalty. So most of our people, you know, it's not a risk to them if it goes over because they weren't going to cash it in, okay? They were going to just roll it over again, which is fine. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went broke. In Texas, we've never had a life insurance company not pay a claim. They've all paid their claims, so that's a good thing. And so I think, overall, I think it's a great program. You know, we've been doing it quite a while now, and it works. We work with two banks. And, you know, they like it. And it's just, you know, the bank helps us so much. They pay the premiums for all the policies. They get the check when it's due and put it in your account. That's the safest thing I know on earth. The bank puts the money in your account. You don't rely on me to do it. My company, we never touch your money. We never allow one dime of your money to go into our corporate account. Never. And so, I think that's the way you ought to do business.
Well, yeah, it makes it safer, it makes it easier, it streamlines the whole process. The quote, as they say, the check is in the mail, that won't get lost. No, it's a very quick process. So basically how this works is that you're investing in life insurance policies of people who are diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so we know generally how the outcome works. Obviously, there's some people that survive them, which is what we ultimately hope for, is for people to survive a diagnosis like that. But the reality is that oftentimes they don't. And so they need to go ahead and sell their policy. Many times it's so they can afford cancer treatments because they're very, very expensive. So then you bid on it against other companies. And if you're awarded with it, you win the bid. That becomes an investment opportunity. And this is important to note that it's not the type of thing where when you say, you know, this is going to help get you ready for retirement. It's not invest in one and done, and all of a sudden, boom, I've made so much money. I made $1 million overnight and I can retire tomorrow. That's not how this works. This is part of a process where you invest in one, roll the profits over into another one, roll the profits over into another one, and that's how you grow your wealth over time.
That's exactly right. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. We're not going to promise you to make you rich today, tomorrow, or next week. This is a long-term investment. It's like a year, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, because we roll these over. And if you're not ready to retire, we're going to be rolling it over for several years. And we're going to roll it over long enough to get you enough money to retire, get you the income you need, and the interest that you're going to need to live on for the next 25 years. So that's what we work on every day, is, you know, making money, doing it safely, and getting it back to the customer as the policies mature.
And I know this is kind of the situation changes for everybody. So literally there's a thousand different scenarios, and it's always different. So this may be somewhat of a loaded question and unfair to ask, but for somebody who's listening and is thinking about this for the first time and is trying to understand the concept, I know that the question they're asking themselves is, how long do I need to do this so that I'm in a position to retire? And I know it's different for everybody, but what would you say would be an
average? Well, it depends
how
much you started out with. If you're starting out pretty small, it's going to be a while. You know, you're going to have to really work it and put more money in probably before you're going to see a significant change, okay? If you've only got $100,000, it's going to take 10 years, you know, to get you enough money to do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come over there with $250,000, $500,000, you know, it doesn't take long.
Because you can put people in more policies.
That's what I'm saying. We can put them in more policies. With $100,000, you can put them in two or one policies. It's going to be one or the other.
Okay. I see. So, and you were talking about people being accredited before. What if somebody doesn't have, like you were just saying, $100,000? What if they don't have $250,000 or $500,000? What kinds of options? Because, I mean, everybody still needs to save and get ready for retirement.
Sure.
What other options?
Well, we would put them in annuities. You know, they're guaranteed. Nobody's ever lost money with a fixed annuity. Now, I'm not talking about a variable annuity. A variable annuity, you can lose money, but not with a fixed annuity. A fixed annuity is backed by the full assets of that life insurance company. And most life insurance companies that write annuities are worth, you know, billions of dollars. And sometimes it's millions and millions. But anyway, they all have an A. The ones we do, we have an A-plus rating. So they've been around 150 years. They're going to pay their claims. They will pay you monthly. If you don't need any money for 10 or 20 years, just put it in there and let it grow. If you're going to need money in 10 years, you better get started in order to be able to draw money, a significant amount out in 10 years. Now, the companies that we do business with, you can walk away at the end of the term. Some insurance companies, you cannot walk away. You have to go ahead and take a payout. And I quit doing business with those companies. I don't want them to have to do a payout. I want them to have the option of walking away and getting their money in 10 years. Now, they may need a payout in 10, and that's fine, but I want it to be the client's option, not the insurance company's.
Okay, so I know there's obviously some different options here, but the life insurance, the life settlement investment is a very popular thing that people are doing. So what are some of the requirements? How does somebody make sure that they're accredited?
If you're accredited, you're worth either or. You're worth either $1 million without your home. You can use your vacation home. You can use your lake home. Cabin in the woods, all that. Your 401k counts, your IRA counts, your ranch, your rent houses, whatever you've got. All that is a good asset. Now then, let's say you're going to have to go the income route. You must make $200,000, including bonuses.
Okay.
So if you've got bonuses and all this other, it'll work. Okay.
So if somebody meets those requirements, they go on to I guess basically phase two, and it's like, okay, so here's these life insurance policies. Who determines, or how does somebody know what they're going to make? Because it's a well-informed investment, and when you're on Wall Street, you don't know. I mean, it could be anything, but with a life settlement, people know what their profit is going to be. How is that determined?
Well, we try to pay them 1% a month. Okay, and we tell them that going in. They say, how much are you going to pay? I said, we usually pay 1% a month. Sometimes it might vary, but usually we just simply make sure that we can pay them 1% for every month. So if it's a 24-month, we're going to pay 24%. If it's 20 months, we pay 20, you know, just depending on that.
And the months that you're referring to, is that's the life expectancy by the experts, right?
Yes, not me, but by the experts. The doctors have said, this is how long we think they'll live. This is what they've got. They've got stage 4 cancer. It may be esophagus cancer, a stomach, or it might be pancreatic, whatever it is.
So when somebody comes to you to invest, they're going to know the type of cancer they have. They're going to know the treatments they've already had. They're going to know the life expectancy of the person. What else do they know? Or are those really the big highlights?
That's the big things they know. They know how much treatment they've done, what doctors they've went to, what clinics, what their diagnosis was, and what they did with them. They may have come in the first time and ran all these tests and said, okay, here's where it looks like it is. Now, we're going to recommend you take these three drugs every day for 6 weeks, so we know that. Then they come back and they said, there is no change. We've got to do something else. You know, or they may say that one polyp or that one cancer went down. And then lots of times they have to give you something really strong for the pain. And we'll see it in there. We know how much pain they're in if they're on all these different things.
So for somebody who's thinking about this and weighing their options for retirement, what would you say would be the one biggest selling point of a life settlement type of investment?
Well, to me, it's the security of a life insurance policy, investing in a life insurance policy. I think that's a big security. And then the other thing is you know what you're going to make, you know, relatively close. You know if it's going to be 24 months, 26, or 30. You know all that. And most of the time, it's pretty darn accurate. It might be a month off, 2 months off. It can even be a year off, but usually it's not. So all those things are really important to you.
Yeah, and then the profit could change a little bit based on, you know, if it goes over and you have to pay some premiums or things like that. But it's never going to be less. So if it's a 24-month policy and it comes in 12, people may think, oh, gosh, I'm only going to make 12 and I thought I was going to make 24. That's not the case. You still get the full amount.
You're going to get the full amount. And if it's early, it's early. And it allows you to reinvest that money again that year. Or if it goes over, you know. So it goes over 12 months. It's not going to cost you that much. So you're still in good shape.
Yeah.
It's just not like the stock market at all. It's completely different.
And it is something that you do over several years. So, I mean, the great thing is, I would imagine, is that it doesn't require 20 years of investing to get to where you need to retire. You can do this in a few years, depending on where you're starting and where you need to be and all that. And you'll work all that out with each individual person. This is not a cookie cutter type of thing. So for somebody who wants to come in, what should they do today to get ready to come see you next week?
They need to gather up all their papers, whatever they want me to look at, and call the office to make an appointment. But another thing I don't think we've ever mentioned about the stock market, you know, when you get ready to cash in, we don't know how much the stock will be worth. Will it be worth $25 a share that day or 10? But when you get ready to cash this in, you know exactly what it's going to be worth. You know to the penny what it's worth. Because we told you to start with, we were going to give you 24%. We told you on $100,000 you're going to make $24,000. So if that same stock certificate, you cash it in, you may not get that much. You might get more, but it's uncertain is what I'm trying to say.
And
a stock certificate is a lot more uncertain than this.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's completely not related to what's going on in the stock market. Nothing can affect its value.
No, it's not like... if we're at war, it doesn't matter if we're at peace or war or whatever. This has nothing to do with that.
Cool. All right, Faye, one last time for people to come and see you, make an appointment. What's your phone number?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.